Good morning, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And Austin will be here momentarily. He went over there to get some Fit Food, which I have in my glass, by the way. And I had used all the Fit Food. See, so I'm going to run over and get some Fit Food real quick, so he'll be right back. But I want to cover a couple of things with you guys today, because, you know, what's interesting to me is that I've really taken a look at this thing now with what's going on with the police officers and what's happened with, you know, these people getting shot and killed and cops who getting knifed. And there's this one article in here that I pulled up, and this lady had a problem. She was basically had a guy come to her to the precinct, and she let this guy get too close to her, and she ended up she ended up getting sliced in the face with his knife. And then several other cops chased him down. He pulled a knife on them, and he ended up getting killed. Now, what's interesting about this is the fact that these people in this article, they allowed these people to get too close to them. And you think, well, why would you cover this article this morning? Because of situational awareness. I'm going to read it to you. Breitbart: man shot dead after slashing officer's face with knife. A 35-year-old man was shot dead Sunday morning after slashing a female's New York City police officer's face with a knife, and later allegedly lunging toward a group of officers gathered outside of a housing project. The New York Post reported that the chain of events began around 5:28 a.m., which is way early in the morning, when the suspect attempted to enter the front of the police precinct building but could not. He then went to the rear of the building, where he was turned away by a female officer and then lunged at her with a large knife and slashed a female officer's face. This was her mistake. She should have never, ever opened that door. She should have never, ever let that guy get closer, especially 5 o'clock in the morning. ABC 7 New York quoted that the NYPD police patrol, Philip Rivera, saying he slashed her face, and then she was able to fight him off. And then he ran out of the back of the precinct, and an officer deployed a taser to attempt to subdue him, but it was not effective at subduing him. With the initial attack, taser deployment was captured on camera from the inside and outside of the precinct. The suspect fled, and other officers pursued him on foot, eventually cornering him in a housing project and ordering him to drop the knife. The suspect allegedly lunged at one of the officers and was shot multiple times. The suspect died shortly thereafter at the hospital. Now, why would I bring this story up? As I alluded to earlier, it's the situational awareness. This officer should have never, ever allowed this man to get this close to her to be able to cut her with a knife. You know, police officers are normally smarter than this. Most of the time when somebody comes up to a back door of a precinct, there's an intercom system. And that intercom system allows those people who are in the inside to talk to the people on the outside without having to have direct engagement with them. But this lady made a bad mistake. I'm a condolences to her, and the guy is dead from it. But the thing about it is, when you have crazy people showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning at a police precinct, yeah, and you open the door and want to talk to them, mistake. And the reason I brought this up again is because beloved Auburn University professor is stabbed to death while walking her dog in a remote area, with a suspect facing the death penalty. This is a former Auburn professor, Dr. Julie, my condolences to the family, Dr. Julie Gard Schunel, who is 59 years old. She was found dead in a wooded area in Diesel Park in Auburn, Alabama, on Saturday afternoon. She was assisted with an assault said by a sharp object. She was walking her dog. The suspect, Harold Rainey Dashey, basically ended up taking that person's car, that truck, and stealing it, driving it like 5 miles. And now he's been arrested. Now, his charges are still pending, but he's been arrested for the death. Now, again, they said that she was real, real spunky, and she probably, and I, this is speculation on my part, she might have gotten real mouthy with this guy. And, and he probably was not playing with the full deck, and he just didn't know how to respond to her. But I don't know that. That's my speculation. You know, it said the reports suggest that he stole the veterinarian's F-Ford 150 truck from the scene and later abandoned it near Pumpkin Patch 5 miles away. The truck was recovered after Dabney's arrest. The dog was found safe. Authorities said that they have not said what led to the attack. It's also unclear if Dabney personally knew Shula, who has understood to have visited the park daily, or if he targeted her at random. She worked as a faculty member at Auburn University's Department of Clinical Sciences. The late veterinarian had been hailed for her welcoming personality and her dedication to her students. She was spunky and ready to make jokes. But if she saw something she didn't like, she would stand up for you and for herself, her former student, Dr. Ashley Rutter, told ANL.com. She'd be there to defend you and help you out. So, again, she sounds like a really, really nice lady. But I'm going to make a few comments here about this, because I don't know exactly what happened, and I'm just speculating and letting you know that in advance. If you get into a situation in which you're confronted by somebody with a knife, number one, here's the deal. If you're a woman, don't be going out, or even if you're a man, don't be going out and into a park area, into the woods, you know, by yourself. Don't do that. Don't always take a friend with you. Just take a friend. And if you do go out in those areas, don't go out there wearing a headset and listening to music.
That's a fact.
No, I have seen it so many times that you walk around like Hollingsworth, and the people will be walking around like Hollingsworth, and they're singing to the music they're listening to, and they're completely oblivious on who's around you. Now, secondly, I'm going to say this very clearly. If you're going to do that by yourself, you need to be armed. I can't say that any more bluntly than that. You know, I had a friend of mine the other day. They were asking me. They found out that I carried a gun, and they said, "Well, why do you carry a gun?" I said, "Because I can." And I said, "I've seen a lot of bad stuff in my life, and I just make sure that I don't get involved in the bad stuff."
You know, the response to that is, "For any lawful purpose."
Well, yeah, but
that's your answer.
Well, she's from Norway, okay. And so she really doesn't understand a lot of the laws here in the United States. They don't really have guns over there.
Well, Norway, I don't think you can really carry a firearm over there in Norway. You can carry pepper spray, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But they're funny about it.
And good morning, guys, by the way.
He showed up.
I showed up. It's my birthday today. Just kidding. I had to go get a Fit Food shake. I was starving. There's a little bit of protein left over there. There was no protein here. For some odd reason, Dad and I just keep burning through all the inventory on the wall. There's not much left going to be here soon.
Well, yeah, pretty soon all the boxes of the Pearl Sessions are going to be empty.
But I appreciate the support and the emails over the weekend. Thank you guys for that. And he's exactly right. You know, if you're going to be out doing stuff, you're going out exercising, I know a lot of times it makes it easier to get into, you know, the rhythm of running. Or if you're doing something with headphones on, kind of makes the time go by faster. However, if you're doing it in a public setting, unfortunately, the world that we live in today, we're not in the 1950s anymore. Just is what it is.
Well, the problem is, and I'm not speaking specifically about this Auburn professor, but I'll say it this way. If you have somebody confront you, it's best to just not say anything.
Yeah.
Unless you have deadly force, then it's still best just not to say anything.
Well, sometimes the best thing to do is get off the X, they call it. Get out of the situation. Leave quickly.
De-escalate it. They want the pickup truck keys, toss them the keys.
If the truck's
insured, your life's not.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is when the caveat happens is when you start having children with you. Mm-hmm. Because then everything switches from a defense factor to a protection factor of the children and trying to get them out of the situation and get the situation away from them. For example, if you're having that like happen, you've got to figure out how to get out of the situation with your child intact. You can't just leave them in the back seat.
You've got to make sure also that if you're carrying deadly force, you can get to it. You can't have it locked in the trunk of the vehicle.
And you draw fire away from you. If you're in a vehicle and somebody's pulling a gun on you, the biggest thing to do is at that point you have to exfil out of the vehicle at some point. You can't let fire draw into the car. Cars are bullet magnets, I'll tell you right now. And if you got a kid in the car, you got to draw fire away from them. But going back to these situations too, this is another situation that just happened. You guys saw this with Erna Zakowski.
It was like a real rear naked choke.
Well, no. I didn't pull the story up. I figured you guys already knew it. The girl on the left, she's from Ukraine. She's sitting there in the subway up in New York, and this guy behind her, sitting behind her, black guy, 14 or 15 felonies he had before. He stabs her in the throat, cuts her throat open. I'm not going to show the whole video. It's unbelievably graphic.
Did she survive or she died?
Oh, she died. She bled out the whole subway. He's walking around with the blade, dripping blood everywhere. Went back to prison. Now he's charged with first-degree murder now. And this situation is the one that happened in New York, where you had Daniel Penny, Marine Corps, choked this guy that was threatening to kill her on the subway.
And he died.
And they absolutely eviscerated him, tried to charge him with murder. So you have these two situations here where you have one guy, nobody did anything. He stabs this girl to death while she's on her phone with her back towards him. And just opens her throat up in front of everybody. I didn't care. This guy, Marine, has the guy that's threatening everybody. He chokes him out, kills him. They try to put him in prison. They're blaming this guy now and saying that essentially, because
the thing that bothers me,
he had a rough upbringing.
I know a lot of good black people. I do.
I know a ton.
But I tell you what, it seems like it's always the blacks that do this junk in many cases. Not all the time, but about 80 or 90% of the black on white crime. And it's sad because I've got a good friend, Van, who basically played in the NFL. He and I are like buddies. And, you know, he doesn't approve of any of this stuff. But when you see all these pictures, these black guys doing all this stuff all the time, it really...
Well, the biggest issue that I think the United States population is sick of is when it's reverted one way, it's justified. When it's reverted the other way, it's a hate crime. And that's this flip-flop we have now where this guy cuts his girl's throat open on a subway, suddenly it's because he had a bad upbringing and, you know, he shouldn't be blamed for his behavior for cutting this girl's throat unprovoked. You have a Daniel Penny, who's white, Marine Corps, chokes this guy for threatening to kill people. Now suddenly he's charged with second degree murder and puts his life to the ringer for a year and a half.
White privilege, the ability to suffer whatever life throws at you without blaming another ethnic group.
Gosh.
That's a t-shirt.
Facts out there.
Read it again. Just to make sure I make everybody mad this morning. The ability to suffer whatever life throws at you without blaming another ethnic group. It's white privilege. You know, I remember white privilege, Austin. I remember when I was 8 years old and I was emptying out septic tanks with a bucket.
There you go.
That was my white privilege. I'm mowing 2 acres of property with a 20-inch push mower. That's my white privilege. I was dodging, you know, pedophiles and weirdos and nutbags. And I remember, you know, my one brother up in Iowa said to me, you know, my half-brother said, "We thought you just had a big vacation down there in Florida." I'm like, yeah, okay. That was a vacation. Why people get shot and gutted and snakes and gators.
I was about to say, and don't forget the snakes and the gators on the property, that big old canal you had there.
I've told the story before. I'll tell it again. I wrote about, I think, a Maximum Memory because I remember this one. I was cleaning the edges of the canal. And there was like a white set of sand right in the middle. And this big old, about a 5-foot moccasin, a big old fat thing, swimming right down the middle of it. And I tried to cut him in half with my shovel. My shovel was too dull. And he saw me. He looked at me. And he pulled back. And I knew what he was going to do. So I ran up the side of the canal. And just in the nick of time, he landed. He struck right beside me. Well, then I got mad. I went after him with a shovel again. By the time he got into the black, murky part of the canal, I couldn't see anything. I thought to myself, it's a nightmare. I remember one time they used to have the road crew come in and clean that canal out with sickles.
Yeah.
You always hear these guys screaming, and then there'd be a guy up there with a rifle. You hear gunshots, and they weren't shooting the inmates. They were shooting snakes.
Oh, yeah. I remember down to our lake. All the time you're always shooting them down there. I got that photo of that one. Remember, I'm holding him up by a doggone tail. Yeah. His head's gone. He's tall as me. I'm like 5-6 years old. I don't remember my head.
Oh, yeah. I remember when we were building the dock down there, I shot 5 of them.
Yeah. I don't see him as much anymore down there, though. Is it the herbicides or pesticides?
It's the atrazine, man. It's messing up the whole reproductive cycle of the reptiles.
I can't say I'm that mad about those, though. But the problem is it messes up the whole entire cycle of everything as far as...
Well, I warned the neighbors, you know, not to spray the hyacinth in the lake because they were going to bring in, you know, basically other types of competitive weeds. Now the whole lake's full of weeds.
Yeah, that is true now.
And the mussels are gone, so, you know...
Now all the fish and snakes are gone, but we got weeds.
Oh, yeah, weeds. I mean, you can't even swim in it anymore. Because they wrap around your leg, if you're like you got a snake crawling up your leg.
Yeah,
it's awful.
This is an interesting article that's come out now, and it's saying it's tying into this again.
Oh yeah, that's we talked about this a couple months ago,
and it's coming up even more. And it's saying HHS is confirming now they're going to directly link autism, one of the causes, not the only one, of autism now to Tylenol use during pregnancy.
Tylenol needs to be taken off the market. Period.
Here's the crazy part about
this.
Number
one cause of liver failure.
Yeah. Tylenol and cetaphedamine has been on the market for so long, and yet now it's 2025, and we're just now coming out now and saying...
This is not the primary cause of autism.
No, I don't think it's the primary cause at all. But I know for a fact it is a cause. It is a cause, because I know how liver toxic it is, and I know it's the number one contributor to OD liver failure in the hospitals, like 60,000 hospitalizations
a year. There's three things that cause autism primarily.
Yeah.
The shots, which are heavy metal toxicity. Number two, glyphosate. That's been really linked to it. And number three is Tylenol.
Yeah.
Those are the primary factors, but the shots, the 72 shots on the shot schedule are a nightmare. And especially a hepatitis shot when the baby is first born is loaded with mercury, by the way. You have to be like 800 pounds to be able to absorb it, and you're like, you know, 6 pounds. So it's unbelievable what they've done. And so, but Kennedy's going to just, I hope he just said what he's going to do. He probably didn't want to come out and hit the pharmaceutical companies that manufacture the shots first.
Right.
He wants to bring more research together.
What he's going
to
do, he's going to probably do more of a soft disclosure on it. That way, it's going to be a little bit easier for everybody to bite on, too, because you got to remember, he's dealing with this whole blowback with the CDC director. She's come out now and doing this big expo on it, basically telling everybody that the reason why she was fired is because they're operating, let's see if I can pull it up here, they're operating outside of science, and they're making bad decisions and trying to pull stuff off the market that everybody deserves to have access to.
You know,
talking about the shots.
Well, no, yeah, here it is right here. The House is Susan Moran.
Oh, yeah.
The director of the White House, okay? So she was not aligned with the president, but making America healthy again. you know, lawyer said that she was fired because she declined a rubber stamp, unscientific or reckless directive.
Morales wrote an op-ed published Thursday. She was told to pre-approve recommendations from the CDC's vaccine advisory panel. What happens was they were telling her, we need to let everybody know that the COVID shot is not safe. It has not been long-term tested. This entire product needs to be pulled off the market, so to speak. And now, I'm not doing that. This is just anti-science.
You know what bothers me with these? I call them educated idiots.
Yeah.
Okay? And you think, well, that's very harsh, Ted. Thank you. And
I think it's a valid statement.
No, because I've met a bunch of them, Austin. I remember one time I was up in Tallahassee. And oh, God, these people, they nauseate me. And there was a bunch of college professors in a meeting there. And we came in. And my wife and I were there. And I mean, we were in an RV. This guy was on, like, you know, acreage. And I remember he was so arrogant. I asked him, he was in the middle of nowhere. You know, and I asked him, I said, how many acres do you have? And this is here's his answer. Look to the horizon. It doesn't go that far.
A simple number is just suffice. Like 1,000 acres. Like 500 acres.
Oh, God, I want to slap him upside the face. And I thought, you couldn't hit him and knock him out too easy. He needed to be a biatch slap. Backhand. And I thought to myself, you're so dumb. So I asked him. We were in the RV. We were there until about 9 o'clock at night. It was hard to get a campground that night. I asked him. He's off a dirt road, way down the thing. I said, do you mind if I park on the dirt road by the road? To leave the RV over there at night because it was fully self-contained. Oh, no, you cannot park on the road. I'm like, dude, it's like 9 o'clock at night. So then we had to go try to find a campground in the middle of the night. And I thought to myself, what a nice adventure that was. And I told Sharon, I said, I will never go to another one of those meetings. But everybody there was just arrogant. They were all, one of the professors walked up to me and goes, education is the answer for everything. And I looked at him, I said, yeah, you're absolutely wrong. And he goes, what do you mean? You disagree with me? I said, yeah, I completely disagree with you. I said, education that is improperly, you know, taught, teaching people the wrong things doesn't answer anything. I said, if you have proper information properly applied, it can help. But it's not the answer for everything.
Accurate knowledge.
Yeah, the arrogance of these professors, it was unbelievable. Look into the horizon. Well, then I found out later he was on like 2 acres. Okay, and he had an easement through somebody else's property.
There you go.
And that's what it was.
There you go.
You know,
I forgot about that.
Remember that? He didn't have any land. It's 2 acres. And then I remember another one of them up there. They had one of the other guys up there. He had donated a $10 million estate to Florida State. $10 million. But it was a revocable trust. And they were using him to tell everybody, you got to donate money to Florida State. And my response was, I can't get past your gay and lesbian studies. And I said, love the school. Graduated there 3 times. I bleed garnet and gold.
Hey, we got a football team this year.
We got a team this year. Another girl. And I said, but I don't really want to support the gay and lesbian stuff. And they said, oh, but so this professor, he was actually the president. He gives us land. And then they're throwing that at me. And I'm like, look at him. I said, he'll revoke that trust. It's revocable. Before he dies, he'll take it all back, give it to his family. Oh, he would never do that. Guess what happened?
He did that.
Of course he did. Yeah. You know, I mean, you start thinking about it, and your friends and your family start saying to you, you know, you're dying of cancer. Are you really going to give this all away? How about us?
True.
And quite frankly, his family's right.
Yeah.
You know, and see, he revoked it. took it all back.
It looked good for a while.
It did. It made great publicity. By the way, gold is the new reserve asset.
I saw that. I was going to cover that today.
For most part of this century, the world central banks have held U.S. Treasury bonds, as the primary reserve asset. But lately, for various reasons, they've been converting their dollars into gold. And this year's lines have crossed. And the amount of gold they own exceeded treasuries. That's a big
deal. That's a huge
deal.
That's what shot gold up so much recently.
Well, all the central banks have been buying it by the metric ton. Pretty much everyone has a problem with the dollar reserve currency status. Other major countries are sick of the U.S. weaponizing its privilege by unprecedented printing of dollars to produce military assets.
That's a fact.
Thought I'd mention that. While the U.S. is sick of financing everyone else's trade surplus at the expense of American industry. That's true, too. In a recent video with Miles Franklin, the macroeconomist Luke Grohman fleshed out this thesis and some quotes. The U.S. dollar has been the reserve currency, the anchor for global trade, finance, and power. That's given America huge advantages, cheaper imports, strong buying power overseas, and a deep global market for U.S. debt. But it's also created a catch-22. To keep the world supply with dollars, America's had to run trade deficits year after year that keep the global system running. That's a fact. But over time, those same deficits weaken our own economy, hollowing out our industrial base, eroding national security. I mean, we have to import our steel and aluminum now, by the way.
Yeah.
We can't even make it anymore. And slowly eating away the dollar's value and credibility and the demand for treasuries. Economists call this Triffin's dilemma. And, you know, the thing about it is if you really evaluated gold based upon the amount of dollars printed, gold would be tens of thousands of dollars an ounce. Silver would be over about $5,000-$6,000 an ounce.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, if you ain't – let me say something. People are always asking about gold and silver. I'll say it this way. You ain't seen nothing yet. I remember the Weimar Republic. My mom said, Austin, they would have to take a wheelbarrow load of money to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah, all cash.
It's 4.5 billion marks for one loaf of bread. And she said it was cheaper to burn the money in the furnace to heat the house than it was to buy firewood
with the money.
Hmm?
That's hyperinflation.
That's hyperinflation. And you know, so we're headed that way. So I hope that you guys listened to me long ago in a galaxy far, far away when we said to you that gold was about $600 an ounce, buy gold. And that was what, $3,500 an ounce.
Yeah. There's another study that just came out now on magnesium. You guys know magnesium brain foods product of the week. Oh, by the way, I saw this earlier today. You know, I appreciate it when you guys take care of me. I really do. I clicked on magnesium today just as going through the website, and I've got 3 reviews on it from the weekend already. Our customers are actually putting reviews on stuff now since I asked them last week.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, guys. Some really good ones on here. Got one from Luke. Got one from Brian. Got one from Karen. Great customer. She contacts us all the time.
Oh, my condolences to Karen. She lost her mom yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's rough.
And she was so nice. Last week, she sent me a T-shirt. Thank you, Karen. I made a you were complaining about my T-shirts.
Oh.
And she sent me a shirt.
Good. Thank you for sending him shirts.
Yeah, he sent me a Built shirt.
Yeah.
Make sure it's V-neck. And make sure it's large size.
Well, this is one of the responses here. This is interesting. This is from Brian. He said, this is the best magnesium product on the market, hands down. We discovered my wife had brain lesions caused by a birth control implant about 5 years ago. This is what Brian's saying. They started using magnesium brain food shortly after. It helped her brain function improve drastically and heal. It's a staple for her daily now. For me, I have a high-pressure job, demands 100% of my mental capabilities every day. This product eliminates brain fog and helps me get me clarity like never before.
It got rid of my brain fog, too.
It does for everybody. It's because it's the only magnesium that goes to the blood-brain barrier.
No, I mean, it had gotten bad with me because I'd have to, like, where's another purple stick, right?
Yeah.
And within a week, it took care of it.
This one, too, goes into detail from Luke. He talks about how he said he ran out, had to go a week without this or his multiple powders.
That's
a day 2
stack.
Or 3, he started getting intense migraines. Within 15 minutes of getting my order, I felt immediately better. Won't let it lapse again. I've had this multiple times now from customers. I'm not making any claims, but people are having, and I think it's because the diets and everything are getting so dwindled down with nutrients, but I've got more and more people contacting me over the years about getting migraine headaches, mm-hmm. having migraines. I first asked about blood sugar.
Lots of stuff in the food.
I asked about blood sugar. Ask about water intake. Ask about caffeine intake. And if they check all those boxes off, I always go, dude, you got to run some magnesium. And sure enough, almost every time they start running the magnesium brain food, it cuts it out. And I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of nutrients in the food. And like you said, it's also a lot of the preservatives and toxins now.
Well, you know, what's also interesting. Listen to this. Terry, you know, my attorney up in Tallahassee, she's got a boyfriend. And they went hunting with a bunch of his friends in a hunting cabin for a week. Okay?
Yeah.
And they were all sitting in these bear stands looking for bear. And they were cramping real bad.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't move. And then she said, well, you need to try this magnesium. And she started giving them a tablespoon of the magnesium brain food every day. And every day she said they came back to her, we want more. We don't cramp.
Everybody stop cramping.
We're not cramping anymore.
Yeah.
Because magnesium relaxes the muscles. Calcium tightens it. And so if you want to really help with cramps, I'm telling you, the magnesium is great. And also one other thing with cramps, is I've learned this already, Austin, is our Redmond salt.
Oh, yeah, you got to have enough salt because it's real salt with other minerals in it from mines from 5,000 feet down in Utah.
Yeah,
it's not just sodium chloride bleached.
But, no, I've done it before. I've missed salt for a couple of days, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night with a calf cramp.
Yeah.
And as long as I hit my salt, I always put on my eggs every morning. That's usually enough for me to handle it then.
Yeah.
But I got to have salt on my stuff.
This is funny now, too. The FDA gives qualified nod to magnesium for blood pressure.
Duh.
Duh. We've talked about this for years on here. They're finally saying, based on hundreds of studies and papers, we propose that magnesium can reduce the risk of high blood pressure and should be allowed to state the fact on foods and dietary supplements.
You know, that makes me angry. No. It makes me angry.
Decades we've done this research.
Yeah. It makes me angry. I mean, there were hundreds decades ago. So finally, after 25, 30 years, they go, oh, by the way, magnesium helps reduce blood pressure.
Maybe you don't need to be on blood pressure medication. Maybe you just need to be taking a good magnesium product.
I take two magnesium. I take about 6 magnesium glycinate every night. That's a capsule magnesium, and then I take a tablespoon of that every night. And I tell you what, I feel great.
Now, what's the actual mechanism that magnesium helps as far as with blood pressure like that?
It's relaxing. It just relaxes everything out? Well, yeah, because magnesium relaxes, calcium contracts. And so when you take a water hose and you squeeze it.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Pressure gets high.
You know? So it helps relax the blood vessels. And so that's why it's an amazing product. You know, people are always saying, well, I hear this all the time. The guy's 27 years old. Saw it in the clinic. Oh, I have high blood pressure. They put me on blood pressure medicine. I'm impotent.
No, yeah, there's a side effect of them.
Yeah, I just went there real fast, didn't I? And you go, my wife's upset, and we would have kids, and I can't do anything anymore. What, you know, the whole thing down there in your body parts, it works through blood pressure. You drop the pressure too low, it doesn't work. And, you know, and so I've learned over the years, if you want to lower blood pressure, take your magnesium, take your supplements, and get on a little mini trampoline and start jogging 10 minutes twice a day on the trampoline. Make sure you hold on steady. And it'll drop blood pressure quicker than anything. I used to use it all the time. My blood pressure got too low.
Did it?
Yeah. Went up 90 over 60.
I still use it all the time. It really helps out with cardio, too. You do that. I like doing basically the high-intensity elliptical or the treadmill and then going back to the trampoline and going back and forth. So that way you get real high intensity cardio, and then you go back to the trampoline and kind of calm down a little bit. It really gets your cardio going. It's funny here, it says scientific evidence suggests that diets with adequate magnesium may reduce the risk of high blood pressure. But FDA's concluded that scientific evidence supporting this claim is inconclusive.
Again, unbelievable.
So they got to throw that in there.
Double speak.
Yeah. Here's why.
Because if you say it, now you're making a clinical diagnosis.
Yeah.
I'm going to diagnose you and give you magnesium, and if your blood pressure go down, if I'm using it as a drug. Oh, I can't do that. Well, I'm not saying it's a drug. It's a mineral.
It's literally a mineral.
It's used in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body, including helping to maintain healthy blood pressure. Oh, you can't say that. Well, I've got 5,000 studies that say that with double-blind clinical research. Oh, no. You can't say that. I'm like, well, how many studies do I need? It's like that idiot, that pastor's kid. I've talked about this idiot before. Moron. Kid's a moron. You know, his father had basically protected him his whole life. He goes out to the Bible college out there in Tulsa and gets all the vaccines.
Oh yeah, remember that?
Yes. And then he gets married, and now they're gonna have a baby, and they're gonna give the baby all the vaccines.
Yeah.
And his dad's like, "Can you please help me? He's an idiot." And I'm like, "He is an idiot." So we agree upon that. And I sent him 300 clinical references. A week later, he calls me up. You have more.
Yeah.
I said, you haven't read the ones I sent you.
Did you read the 300? No, I need more, though.
No, he's a moron. And then he starts immunizing the kid. I mean, and then we find out later it was his wife who was making that decision. Happens all the time.
This is a spinoff of that, though. This is another health article that says classical music may help out with blood pressure control, too.
Oh, yeah. It helps
predictable
you relax.
Music patterns synchronize with blood pressure, potentially offering a drug-free approach to cardiovascular health in a new research study.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that is I did a research study in college, actually, in one of my psych classes. So I had these exams. I basically designed these 20-question exams, and I went to different classes. They were for the same professor. They were just different times of the day. It was like 3 or 4 different classes, and I had different music playing for each class. Basically had classical music, had country music, and had real hard rock music, and basically had them take this exam, and then had a class with no music at all. And it was ironic, the class that I played the classical music for did the best on the exam. And it was very interesting to go that, and actually the hard rock one was the worst. That's more for like heavy weightlifting, where you don't have to function much and use your brain. It's not really good for trying to take an exam. But the highest scores was in the class that I played the classical music on. I found that interesting. So they show it here. 92 participants found that blood pressure tends to synchronize closely with predictable phrase structures in music, especially when the music loudness and phrasing are easier to anticipate, which is what they do in classical music.
Why would that happen? pick me, pick me. I've got the answer.
Mr. Brower, what's the answer?
We're a frequency.
Yeah.
We're an energy field. We're basically a hologram. Don't send me letters.
Are we in the Matrix?
Yeah, we're in the Matrix pretty much. and so what happens is if we're a musical note.
Yeah.
So to speak. We have a certain specific frequency. It's based on micronage and micronage. You sit all the way to your hair color and fingernail color and everything else. It goes on. That's why God said he knows you and how many hairs on your head. And so what happens is when you synchronize yourself with music, it helps to relax your body, your whole body. I remember in college I would do that. I'd sit back and just listen to classical music
you'll feel it.
And then when you listen to the hard rock stuff, which I don't, what ends up happening, you feel it just to want to, you make you, makes you want to get, makes you angry.
Well, that's like deadlift PR day in the gym.
I don't put that stuff in my mind. But, you know, and let me say one other thing to you. The HeartMath Institute did a bunch of research on this. Your heart throws out an energy field about 15 feet in all directions. Have you ever walked up to somebody? Male or female, doesn't make any difference. You just meet him, and he's like two north poles of a magnet together.
Oh, yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, you don't say it, but you think, there's something about you ain't right.
Bad energy.
Something ain't right. Bad mojo here. There's something's wrong here. And you go, I think I'm going to pass on this one. I got to leave. It's like, then it goes back to the old song, Mama told me not to come. I don't want to meet you. I don't know what you've done, but something ain't right.
Yeah.
Okay? And you feel it.
Yep.
That's because their energy's not right. Or then you meet up with a person that's been a friend of yours for 50 years, and you meet up with them, and you coalesce again, and you're like, you never had a minute apart.
Yeah. It literally is like you just stopped talking yesterday. Yeah.
It's the same thing happens when you go on dates.
Yeah.
You walk up, and you go, this is not it. Bye, I got
to
go.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why actually smart dogs are really acute to that, and they're really in tune with that. Because that's what you'll notice sometimes all of a sudden this dog starts randomly barking at somebody. You're like, why is he flipping out?
Years ago, the women's club wanted to have a little tour of houses in the area. And they asked us if we'd let our house be used as a tour. And they sold like tickets still, right? And I'm like, whatever. And Sharon wanted to do it. And so we had a cat, Countess. And she's...
Whoa. You guys heard that, right?
I did.
But you guys heard that part of it.
Yeah, I did.
Countess is a cool cat, though. She's an outside cat.
Yeah, Burmese. Really nice.
Killed all the rats in the barn all the time.
Smart,
really
animal.
Really smart of a cat.
And this is so funny. We had this big Alaskan Malamute. This is a funny story. And it was on a 15-foot aircraft tether, right? And it was tied up in front of the barn. You had to keep it chained up because it would run away. All the dumbest animal I've ever owned. And it would get to the end. Countess would walk up to it. Remember this? And it would be... choke at itself, and it would literally be this far from her, and she'd take a bath.
Yeah.
Remember that? She'd take a bath right in front of it. If you could see his facial color, because he's choking himself out,
blue.
Blue. And I'm surprised he didn't pass out and fall down, and she would just torment him like that. So finally, one day, I said, let me see how fast you are, counselor. I unhooked him. And she goes, boing, boing, and jumped on the fort.
Straight up the fort.
He's trying to climb the slide. He's going nuts trying to get the cat, and he couldn't get her. And she stood up there and took another bath.
Yeah,
remember that? anyhow, so Countess is sitting here in the flower pot in front of the house while we're having this open house. And we had several hundred people show up that day. And they were selling tickets to all these different houses, right? And so, I told Sharon, I said, why are we doing this? This is awful.
You got no money part of it.
No. Women's Day, Women's Club. And so at the very end of the day, Countess has been greeting everybody, all day, purring at them, looking at them. These two women walk up, and they said, we want to come in the house. We need tickets. We're about to close here. It's about 5 minutes till five.
Yeah.
Well, we're realtors in the area, and we don't have tickets. And I'm like, and Countess looked at them, and she goes, meow.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And she hissed, and she jumped up and threw her back up and ran off.
Yeah.
Okay? And I thought,
all day she'd be chilling on the front porch.
And I told the ladies that were, they weren't ladies, they were Woodstock lesbians. They turned around and walked away holding hands just to show us who they were.
Yeah.
But they never came in the house. That cat knew something was wrong with them. Had another kid, had another Malamute, big old thing. And that one was pretty smart. And I remember we had a party at the house one time. Sharon had these giant dogs in the house. It was crazy. And I remember there was a guy named Harry. I can't mention his last name. And he was there on the couch, sitting on the couch. And Baron walked up and put his feet on the couch, on the arm of the couch. and looked, and Barron could stand, he could put his feet on a 7-foot fence. It's a big animal, about 170 pounds. And he was, and he grabbed up, and he pushed himself up, and he looked down at Harry, and his teeth came, Barron's teeth came out. He started growling. Like he's going to kill Harry. I grabbed him, dragged him out back through one of the back porch, told Sharon, please don't let him back inside before they kill somebody. Later, we found out that Harry was gay. Remember that?
Yep.
And, you know, so it was all these crazy things you think about that you don't see until you finally realize that sometimes animals have, like you said, Austin, a different perception.
They do.
Because, you know, we only see in a certain frequency.
Right.
And they see in a whole different level of frequencies. So how do you know, and I'm going to say something kind of weird here, where this show's kind of turned into a weird show anyhow. How do you know that they're not seeing something hanging on that person like a demon?
That's exactly right. And for you guys that don't know what those are, these are the Alaskan Malamutes right here.
Beautiful animals. Beautiful. Look, that mine looks just like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. One of the most beautiful animals in the world, and they're all brawn and no brain. They can pull a sled.
Oh, forever.
Barron's father could break loose and pull a 1,500-pound sled by himself. But
cool dogs, though.
Cool dog. I mean,
great with the kids.
Great with kids.
Very protective, though.
Hate cats.
Hate cats.
They would kill cats.
I don't think it was just specifically cats, though.
I know the dogs.
They're not. That's the biggest thing with these dogs. Just a heads up. They're very dog aggressive. They're very territorial. They're great with kids. He was great with me. I remember Barron was. I'd get on top of this dog. And I'm like 2-3 years old, and I'm like putting my fingers in his nose, pulling on his ears, sitting on top of his head, pounding on him. Dude, he would just lay there, lick me.
Yeah.
I'd fall off of him, and he'd nudge me, pick me back up all the time.
I want you to play with him some more.
Yeah, play with some more. Inside, they're great with family, but as far as you let him get around other dogs they don't like, no bueno.
I remember, we had Gertie was our neighbor at our old house, and she yells over the fence, Ted! Get over here. Your dog killed another cat. Come bury this thing. Remember that?
It's bad.
He hated cats, boy. Yeah. But, you know, he didn't start off as a cat hater. We were by Mom's house one time with Barron, and we walked down to the lake with Mom. I've never told you this. And he had never seen a cat. He's still a puppy.
Yeah.
Okay? And see, he's this big old tomcat sitting there on a boat trailer. And he looked up to it. He'd never seen one before. So he walked up to it, kind of wanted to sniff, and that cat sliced him right across the nose with her. She got him. That was it.
That was it. He had a vendetta at that point.
There was no other cat that was ever going to live past his grip.
Gosh.
If he could catch him, they were gone.
That's horrible.
How do we get into this?
I don't know.
I'm not going to say that.
This is an interesting topic here now, and it kind of goes back in. I'm going to tie it back in with the EV and the push that they're doing this now. They said why billions in AI investment is becoming a pitfall for some companies. They said U.S. companies have spent upwards of $40 billion in AI investments, and 95% have seen zero monetary return, according to one study. And one topic about it is here, it is talking about how instead of using AI as far as an actual tool and utilizing it for certain things to make things run more efficiently, they're trying to engage it and integrate it into an end-all, be-all access where it does anything and everything all the time.
They want to cut down employees.
So they cut down employees. They said the problem is, they said companies stuck in pilot hell usually have three issues: unclear success measures, trying to solve everything at once, and treating AI as the goal instead of a solution to work on certain topics. And this is funny to me because this is exactly what happened with the EV sector. Instead of allowing EVs to kind of introduce into a market, have them as kind of a novelty item, kind of as a fancy golf cart, and allow people to utilize them that want to utilize them around town and plug them in and do stuff like that, they tried to come in and say, this is the ultimate goal, is to have EV everything all the time, and we got to change this over.
Now, we went from EV from AI.
No, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this is why EVs are starting to fail so horrifically.
They're trying to use AI.
AI as the ultimate end-all goal to everything instead of actually as a solution and as a support. And they're trying to integrate and make AI everything.
So they can make self-driving.
Right. We want self-driving. We want no employees. We want no overhead. We want no payroll. We want AI to do anything and everything. And the crazy part about it is if you could tie back into, like, you know, say, for example, the gasoline engine in the cars back from the late 1800s, early 1900s, and Henry Ford, and how that progressed, that whole entire industry took decades and decades and decades to grow. They didn't come in and say, guess what, guys? We made the Model T. We're not going to tax and ban horses. we're going to force you to buy a Model T and you're not going to be able to drive a horse or ride a horse anymore. They didn't do that. They allowed it to integrate. Well, AI now is being forced with all these government subsidies. They're trying to force AI into everything as the end-all goal to run everything all the time. And I think there's a much more nefarious place to it, though, as we're starting to see, as we've talked about.
Well, you know, right now, you know, Tesla's doing so badly that they gave a real huge compensation package again to Elon Musk, and they're saying it could make him the world's first trillionaire. Well, first of all, he's not the world's first trillionaire.
No.
We have people.
That's the Rothschild bankers, they're
quadrillionaires.
Yeah.
And because they own it all. They own all the money. They own all the money from all the fiat currency they print all over the world. So, you know, it's interesting to me that, you know, they're trying their best at Tesla trying to fix this. The problem is the subsidies. The only reason Elon Musk ever got that thing off the ground were the billions and hundreds
of billions, trillions of dollars. The market didn't ask for it. The market didn't demand it. They tried to force, and then they started telling everybody, well, now we're in like California. By 2032, we're going to ban all new sales of gasoline-powered vehicles. All banned. How do you possibly do that in an industry that's been around for 140 years?
Well, you know, General Motors is now saying they're not going to take all the pollution control off the cars, even though there's no longer an EPA mandate, because they have to be able to get into California with them.
Yeah.
Every state's going to have its own pollution control stuff now.
Yeah, well, then that's the way it should be as far as, well, the EPA should be able to come in and mandate the stuff from a national level. It's out of control.
Oh, by the way, happiness once rose with age. Now it only falls for the young. This is an interesting article.
Interesting statement.
And I read this. I thought to myself, it says, for decades, happiness followed a U-shape. People dipped in the middle life when they were working all the time, and then recovered in old age while they were basically running around doing nothing. The pattern has now disappeared. A new study of 1.7 million people, which is a very big group, in 44 countries, shows young adults are now the most distressed, depressed group in the world, while the older adults are still faring better. In the U.S., despair among the under 25s rose from 2.9% in 1993 to about 8% now.
Wow.
That's almost a triple. Young women reported the sharpest increases. Researchers point to smartphones. Here we go.
Yep.
Social media, economic pressures, and underfunded health care as likely drivers of the global reversal. And also, I'm going to add this to it. A lot of it has to do with that stupid COVID shot. Because there's so many people with so many health problems.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. We've talked about it before. It's very difficult to be extremely productive and effective if you're constantly sick with chronic diseases all the time. Especially, you know how frustrating that'd be? You're in your early 20s. I mean, you're in this prime time of your life where you really start pushing, grinding, business, health, everything. And now you're dealing with constantly going to the doctor, and they constantly having these diagnoses, conditions that they can't figure out what's going on. More, you got blood clots from this, and you're having this problem with your heart, and you're like, I'm not even an unhealthy person, but I'm having all these health issues. That would be very, very, very disheartening. It really would.
Well, and the other thing, too, let me say this in a way that's going to be more palatable for the audience. A lot of people, because of social media, have decided they have to have a G-Wagon.
Yeah, it used to be a good resale value. It's dropped somehow.
And you think, well, what's that? That's a Mercedes SUV. It looks like a block, like a box.
It's the old military transport platform from the 70s.
Now, it's cool.
From EU.
And then when they put that 600 horsepower engine in them, they're pretty neat. They're pretty fast, too.
Or the 4x4 square with the portals.
Well, yeah. But the problem is, a lot of women now believe that they earn that they
own
that.
A G-Wagon. Is that the new? That's the new.
No, that's it. Yeah, and they want a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, they want to have Louis Vuitton purses, and they want to have Chanel purses.
Well, that's all from social media.
No. Let me finish. And so what happens is they get into a situation where then they find out that the guys that they're dating are pretty much gay. Guys that are... it's just the truth, you know? And so then they don't know what to do. And suddenly they're trying to figure out how to earn the income to buy a G-Wagon that they can't.
The G63 is a $200,000 SUV.
Expensive cars.
Now, granted, we do have Section 179 back, thanks to Trump, so you can actually write that off as a business expense.
Talk to your cat. We're not giving you
any cat advice on that. So this is a big write-off.
But the problem is they want the Chanel bags, they want the Louis Vuitton bags, they want the Rolex watches, they want the Cartier watches, they want the, you know, and so because of social media.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. All those things were around before social media.
Yeah.
But you never had so much blatant in your face exposure to allegedly so many people owning them, when in reality, it's still a very small, minute part of the population that has that. They watch it on social media.
Then they look at Kim Kardashian. Now they want buttock implants.
Well, yeah. But I was talking to a buddy the other day, and he goes, you know, back when, you know, we were in the 90s and we saw us, we'd go to like a random car show once or twice a year, right? And they'd have like a Diablo or Murcielago. You saw one.
Countach.
Saw one. And you're a kid. And you're like, wow, this is cool. These exotic cars. You never see them. Well, now what happens is, instead of having this exposure from real life experiences and talking to people that own them and getting the exposure and having these goals, these are cool cars, let's look at them. You now have every single child, 8, 9, 10 years older now, with a smartphone, now sees, oh, look, I can click in Countach or Murcielago or any of these cars, G-Wagon. And now there's 50 million hits that pop up with everybody driving them. So now in your mind as a young kid, you think everybody in the entire world has a G-Wagon but you, right? You don't understand the concept of what it takes to achieve them, and not to mention most of those people don't own them. They're all rented. It's all fake. Everything on social media, 90% is fake. It's all fake. I know the guys down in Miami that do these fake things. They rent these cars. They take videos. They actually have private jet fuselages you can get videos and photos in. Fake jets, not even on a runway, in a basically a studio. You get there, you get your photo in the jet. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like multiple different options with interiors. Not joking. So you got my, I'm in my jet.
Is anything legitimate in Miami?
No. Nothing. Nothing down in South Florida.
Miami literally is the flushing cesspool point of Florida.
It's the scam. It's the scam of Florida. It's everything. Everybody that finds, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 in savings, they go down there, they get an apartment, they rent it with three people, they go rent their cars or lease their cars, then they tell everybody, hey, I've got a new course. Buy my course for $5,000. I'm going to show you how to come to Miami and live like this. They're all broke. Nobody has any money down there. Everybody's running on credit. And so, again, be very cautious what you allow your kids to look at. It has to start skewing their mindset on what's achievable.
Well, no, that's why,
achievable.
And that's
goals
why these young kids are so depressed.
Yes, because they're looking at, oh, this 19-year-old on Instagram's got a G-Wagon. Well, I don't have a G-Wagon. I'm 25.
And this is why that one, and I can't say specifically the reason for it, is that one coach from the Green Bay, New England Patriots is dating that younger girl. This guy's super rich, and all of a sudden now this girl sees him, and now she's dating him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he can give her anything she wants.
And you he makes a boatload of money.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the problem with all of it is that, you know.
But it's the exception of the rule.
Yeah.
And so what happens, all these other girls on social media see that relationship, now they go, well, I don't have this. Why don't I have a G-Wagon? Why don't I have a private jet? Why don't I have this and this and this? Because a lot of that stuff, in most cases, if it's not done properly, it's not a great investment unless you know how to buy it. Secondly, it takes an enormous amount of revenue and cash.
Well, no, I've got a friend of mine who's got a private jet.
Yeah. Oh, it's constant maintenance.
He finally leased it out and tried to pay for the doggone fees on it. It's expensive.
The upkeep and maintenance.
By the way, here's another one. Upkeep and maintenance. Here's an interesting article. Harris posted this weekend. I'm like, Tim Craig, aging homes are crumbling across the United States. Should the government pay to fix them? Oh, let's talk about this. In Philadelphia, even as her pre-World War II era house falls apart around her, Bernadette Reese Hobson tries not to feel like a failure as a homeowner. Her home is still her refuge, giving her space to sip tea while staring at family photographs that line the walls. But there's a trash can size hole in her living room ceiling. That's a big hole.
Trash can size hole.
That's a lot of water.
That's a lot of
caused
water.
By water that continually drips on piles of dark, mildewed plaster and crumbled wood beams on the floor. A gaping hole in her basement water heater spills even more water into her belongings. You know, I've tried to keep the home up and pay the bills. I just couldn't keep it up, said Reese, 63-year-old social worker who now lives off $1,400 a month. So now here's the question. Should these homes be fixed by the United States government? You know, it says analysts say the problems associated with deferred maintenance and dilapidated properties
exactly
span both
right.
rural and urban properties, resulting in structural collapse of properties. So Philadelphia, one of the oldest cities in the nation, has emerged as a center for the problem and debate on whether the government could step in and fix the houses. City records show 40% of the houses in the city were built before 1939, with nearly two-thirds built before 1954. Philadelphia also has its ownership far rate more. So that's the question to ask you guys. Is the government, if they're responsible to fix these older homes? My response is absolutely not. They should bring a D5 in there or a D9 in there, and basically that's a bulldozer. Yeah. Push this crap over and be done with it. Well, of course, in L.A., they didn't worry about that, did they? Else they started a fire and burned up 50 square miles.
Here's the issue with a lot of stuff. Some houses, because I've been there, done that, some houses are what we call teardowns.
They're money pits.
They're money pits. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at that house. It's going to be the Money Pit.
Funny movie,
but it's exactly that point. Gigantic mansion. It's nothing but problems the entire time. Secondly, though, I get some people's thought about this, because here's the issue that I would have if I was in a position or I got a house and I was having the issues. Why is it that it's our responsibility to give Israel another $10 billion in the last bill.
We're going
to
go on Israel again?
No, no, I'm asking a valid question. We can give Israel $10 billion. We can give Nigeria $5 billion. We can give all this money to all these other countries because they need our help all the time. But we have dilapidated infrastructure in the United States. I'm not just saying specific houses, but we have some dilapidated infrastructure.
Well, if the government's going to be putting money into dilapidated infrastructure, it'd be in bridges and roads.
Yeah.
Not in houses.
Not houses.
Well, no. Let me share something with you. I remember I heard an evangelist say one time, he goes, "Yeah, everybody's always wanting all this stuff."
Yeah.
You don't realize how much stuff costs to maintain.
Stuff maintains. That's exactly right. You know, everybody wants to have stuff, but no one wants to find out what the oil change costs.
You know, finally, 25 years ago, I got tired of fixing roofs. I put a metal roof on.
Yeah.
I said, I'm done.
That was one of the best investments you did on that house, too. You don't touch it.
Yeah, I'm done. It had some problems with the valleys. I had them redone, but I haven't had to touch it. By now, it'd be on my third set of shingles now. And I mean, it's just all it is a money pit. A house, if you get a house that basically is in good shape and has been taken care of, it's not bad, but you get a house that has deferred maintenance on it. I remember my mom. Okay, she's in a house about 100 years. It was over 100 years old now. It was about 90 years old when we were living there. And I remember, Sharon and I, we wanted to help her fix it up, and we tried. And every time we did something else broke.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Well, it was like that big old house behind us that I tried to buy. It was $80,000. The bank had bought it. They were flipping it.
Tear down.
And the back porch all rotted apart. And I started looking on stuff, and I'm like, God, they didn't use hardy board on anything.
No, we knew it. I thought it was
the whole interior, the AC was shot out. And I'm like, $80,000's okay in this big old house. I said, but maintenance, I remember there was one house I looked at. Remember, it kept driving. It was a big old house. Mm-hmm. It had been empty for a while. The bank had owned it. And I looked it up, and I was trying to make an offer. I was going to see if I could lowball them. And it came back, and I had a sheet on it. It said property taxes were $13,000 year. Yeah. And the HOA was $2,000 a year. And I said, I'm out.
Yeah.
I said, I'm out. I said, it doesn't even matter if you eventually pay the house off. You're going to be looking at, with maintenance, AC, you're going to be looking at $3,000 to $4,000 a month.
Well, I remember we were going to replace the countertops.
Just to keep the house
there. We were going to replace the countertops in my mom's kitchen.
Yeah.
Right? Pull the countertops off. Well, then the upper cabinets were bad. We pulled those out. All the whole ceiling fell down.
Yeah.
So now we have replaced the ceiling. Well, now we've replaced the ceiling. Now we got to replace the cabinets. Well, shoot, might as well replace the floors. And it turned into a complete remodel. Yeah. It was a full gut and remodel. And I'm like, money pit. And then we went and watched that movie with Tom Hanks with the money pit. We just laughed
the whole time.
Because
stairs fall down.
No, because every time you touch something else breaks.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where you just want to patch it. That front support beam's bad. Patch it.
And that happens the same thing with vehicles. That's why I tell people sometimes you start reaching a point with the vehicle, it's way more cost effective to sell it, liquidate it, get out of it, and get something in more reliable that's actually going to be able to drive.
Well, I had a friend of mine who's got like a 67 Corvette. Beautiful car out in California. Man, no maintenance on it.
I remember that had been sitting forever.
And they wanted to sell it. And so I got about a $20,000 offer on it because it's in such bad shape.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to have to put another $50,000 into it to get it back up to standards. Yeah. And it didn't have a big block. It had the 327 in it. So it wasn't worth that much to start with. It wasn't worth fixing and putting all that money into.
No.
But I mean, the brakes didn't even work on it. They hadn't done anything to it. They just let it sit in the garage. If you have equipment, you got to run it.
You got to run it.
At least once a year, twice a year, you got to start it up and let it get.
Well, that's why you see these big guys like Jay Leno and all these car collections. They have full-time maintenance that maintains the cars.
I mean,
battery tenders started
Jerry
them up.
Jerry Steinfeld bought his own parking garage for all his Porsches.
All those cars take maintenance all the time. They got it, and even people don't realize this, especially those higher end exotics. It doesn't even matter if you don't drive them or not; they still got to get serviced every 1 to 2 years.
What is our product of the week right now? It's magnesium brain food, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you guys have really responded to me being on Hagman last week. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Did you get some good emails on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good show. You filled in for me on it.
They told me to talk more about dating,
dude. Please,
I don't want to do that on this show. It's awful. Dating's horrible.
I know we need to do. I've told you this already. I think
I know.
We need to do it. We need to set up the podcast, have another like a VIP section over here, have some different topics. We can discuss all types of stuff. More guns, more cars, more dating. And, everybody wants to hear that. And keep health masks still health masks, because sometimes we get sidetracked on this show.
We need to talk about people who have big noses like free air.
Yeah. Here's the last one here. Magnesium. Magnesium link to larger brains and may reduce the risk of dementia.
Oh,
dementia.
Yeah.
It says 6,000 participants.
What is dementia?
Killed that one. It's Monday, man. They said people that consume more than 550 milligrams of magnesium each day have a brain age that was about 1 year younger by the time they reached 55.
Oh, it's more than that.
No, that's just compared to people that had a regular intake of 350 milligrams. Just 200 more milligrams a day. And now that's that. Granted, we got a gram in this. It's a whole gram. 1,200 actually milligrams for one scoop on here. So they showed a study shows a 41% increase in magnesium intake can lead to less age-related brain shrinkage. The research highlights the potential benefits of the diet high in magnesium and a role it plays in promoting good brain health. So something to look at here. It shows different nutrients on it, or you can just run. See, here's the problem with a lot of the food now. You don't know what's really in a lot of the food and what the nutrient density of it is anymore. You really don't. Because a lot of the stuff is
crops aren't rotated.
Crop rotation doesn't exist anymore. Not to mention everything now is constantly getting sprayed half time. Even organic stuff sometimes is showing up testing positive for different types of toxins.
I've got good news, though.
What's that?
Sexually transmitted infection rates dropped for the first time in decades.
That was a horrible segue.
It was bad, wasn't it? It was about as bad as it got.
That was bad as kids. Positive story. Bad segment.
You know why? Nobody's dating.
Nobody's dating. Well, that's so they're trying to push AI dating on everybody now.
Well, I can't say nobody's dating, but the people are just sick of it because of the weirdos online.
Well, it's social media's ruined the world. I've said that dozens of times.
I had a friend of mine went out with this girl. He's very wealthy. And they're walking around over Disney Springs.
Okay.
And she says to him, she goes, second date, I want you to buy me either a G-Wagon or a Lamborghini Urus.
Gosh, that's bold.
Don't make this stuff up.
You talk to people like that, yeah, and they're like, no, I'm not joking.
No.
This
really happened. And my friend said to her, he says, I'm not going to buy you. I'm not even dating you.
I don't even know you.
and then it was funny. She goes, well, I know you can afford it. He goes, well, the reason I can afford it is because I don't go to people I don't
buy
know.
It for people.
Awful.
Second coffee date.
And then my friend doesn't drink, and he told her not to order any alcohol. So she orders like this $30 drink, you know, at this restaurant. And he told her, he said, that's on you. You get your credit card out. Well, I don't have any money. So the waitress comes over and says he's going to give her the drink. And my friend goes, we're canceling that. Waitress, of course, got unbelievably mad.
I love the way when people go, I deserve a G-Wagon. All right, well, I think you need to buy one. Yeah. Well, I don't have any money to buy one. Okay, then don't buy one.
No, she really asked him for either a doggone Lamborghini or a G-Wagon on a second date. And they weren't even dating. It was just very, very casual. And I couldn't even believe it. He came over and started talking to me. I said, yeah, have fun with all that.
You need to tell your buddy, maybe give her a little bit more magnesium brain food. Go grab a can for me. Get that cognitive function.
Well, then she told him that her last boyfriend had bought her like a $35,000, you know, Nissan.
There you go. There you go. That's probably something. I'd pick an Accord more than likely, though. Accord or a Toyota, if you're going to do that. It's at least reliable. Yours or a G-Wagon.
I'd give her a
Pinto, Ford Pinto.
20-year-old, you know, Tesla. Give her something to think about. Just break down the side of the road.
Yeah, they got to charge them in a day or two.
Unbelievable.
50 miles a charge.
Oh, by the way, Swedish scientists have now said that humans should be able to become cannibals to fight climate change. Because eating human flesh. Yeah, because now we're talking, you know.
Soylent Green?
Mm-hmm. Swedish scientist says humans should be able to become cannibals to fight climate change because eating human flesh is more sustainable than the meat industry.
Does anybody actually read this stuff before they publish it? They just put it out there? Like, we're just going to just slowly, just quietly say, hey, everybody should start eating each other? God, people say some sick stuff online.
Well, you know, the problem it is, he starts talking about the taboo of cannibalism, right?
Taboo of cannibalism?
Well, the first thing I would want to do is I would want to go ahead and do a little bit of a search on this dude to find out how many times he's been eating dead bodies. I mean, he's kind of telling you it's okay to do this.
He sounds like he's a closet pedophile, too. Like, I just feel like somebody that's a cannibal, they're kind of a pedo. Like, you're pretty sick in the head.
Well, so it's like this one guy who's 90 years old who killed those girls, right? It was on the Daily Mail today. I'm not going to cover it in detail, but he finally came and told one of the other inmates he killed a lot more people than that. And he was also like a little, he worked in minor league, not minor league, but, you know, in like the baseball stuff for little kids all the time.
Yeah, of course.
And so everybody thought he was normal, but he's another weirdo.
Probably pedo. Pedal, murder, cannibal.
And the sad part about it is you don't know who people are when you first meet them. You got to kind of do some background stuff on people to find out, make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. I've been getting reviews on stuff, man. You guys put reviews on D3. Thank you for keeping up the reviews on here. The more and more reviews we get, the better it is for me, A, not only to be able to see the feedback from y'all, because I like seeing feedback from you guys. I really do. I like knowing what works. I like knowing how stuff, because when somebody finally told me that the magnesium brain food completely got rid of their tinnitus. I'm not making that claim. That's what he sent me an email on. I never knew anything about that as far as its combination with magnesium thionate and with tinnitus. meningitis, but it worked for him. Again, that's what he said on there. So you guys put the reviews on here. It helps other people actually get background knowledge on these supplements and what it can do for them. So be sure to check it out. Magnesium Brain Food on sale for two more days. It'll change over Wednesday morning for product of the week. So be sure to check that out on there and vote. You can go on the front page here and click the vote button and click which one you want to see win. Click on there. So again, thank you, my friends. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay strong and healthy as always. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow.
Hey, love you guys. Thanks for your support. Got to pray for you in church yesterday. You guys are amazing. Thanks again for praying for us. And again, my condolences to Karen.
Yes.
And thank you for all your feedback and all the positive things that you're putting in here as far as the, you know, testimonials.
Testimonials. Yeah. That looks like it's about to win on Wednesday.
Berberine's going to win. You're going to love that product. It's been on price. Hey, I love you guys. See you tomorrow.
Appreciate y'all.